Hey guys, happy Easter. Guess what? My Melbourne Comedy Festival show starts this week. It starts on the Friday the 5th. So if you're in Melbourne and you're listening to this, come down. It's on till the 20th. No Monday shows. Grab a ticket for whenever you can. If you've got friends or fam down there, send them my way. It'll be fantastic. We also have a Patreon. Please subscribe to that. It's the best. We love everyone listening in. And subscribing and being fans of the pod. You guys are the best. Thank you, guys. Enjoy the episode. Trying to make a living, working hard to get to
heaven, where I come from. Oh, yeah. Hello and welcome along to the Community Notice Board.
Let's go. Hello, welcome to another episode of Community Notice Board, a podcast about suburbs we grew up in, local landmarks, hometown heroes, and coming of age tales. We got a very special guest in the studio.
He's struggling with a jar
juice. Unbelievable. Living that Marrickville life. Chad Wick is here. Hey,
mate. It was a pleasure to be here.
We got to take a quick break while we wash Chad's clothes for him.
Unbelievable.
Did it go all over?
A little bit on my pants, but it's watermelon. Yeah.
I mean, it's a foolproof delivery system of a drink. So Chad's got a. Tell us, you went to a cafe nearby.
I thought I'd get a drink before I came. I didn't realize beers was on the agenda board.
Oh yeah, you can have a beer.
I think I might have to now.
After this debacle,
First impressions meeting you people, it's got a jar of drink.
You don't have to drink. You don't have to drink out of a pail though.
I'll just have mine straight from the can. No, your cafe around the corner. There's juices in there, and they had them all in jars. So I thought just to look cool.
Yep.
I was like, can I get one of those as a takeaway? Lay's like, yeah, no worries. And then she just proceeds to go, just get the can. Like, just get the jar out of the thing.
Just a straight little jam jar.
Did you wait for a second and be like, are you going to do anything with this?
I actually stood there to give it to her because I was like, oh, you must be busy. Do you need me to give it to you to put in a cup? Like for a takeaway for me.
Yeah.
No, that jar's yours. Okay. And then obviously just trying to drink out of it.
We can go back there tomorrow and refill the jar.
I'll tell you, I will be taking this back.
Through the front window. Get it on your pants.
With my pants.
Yeah.
Clean these up.
Oh, mate.
Excellent.
So Shad, you are here to. We're going to Far North Queensland. Is this our first Far North Queensland?
Townsville,
of course.
But, in my mind, Cairns and Townsville are like twin cities, but they're still hundreds of kilometres away. So far away from each other.
5 hours away from each other. Yeah,
so exactly. We're talking Cairns. Shad, you have a bit of history with Cairns, obviously.
I do. I was just saying before we start, I feel a bit guilty because I do a show with my mate Peter James, who is born and bred Cairns, whereas I'm like two stops in Cairns.
Yeah.
I came here when I first moved to Australia, very briefly, and then I lived there for 4 and a bit years doing my radio career that ended perfectly.
Well, this is just now. This will be a two-parter. We've got Shad and Pete Save the Pod.
Yeah, well.
Cairns 1, Cairns 2.
Get us on board.
Yeah. So you said when you first moved to Australia, you're in Cairns, just briefly, right?
Yeah.
You said?
Yeah, I was born. I'm kind of annoying for your pod, I feel, because I've moved heaps.
Yeah.
But like, I was born in.
No, that to us, that just puts dollar signs in our eyes.
More like, and more.
Think of the episode. Think of the residuals. 10 cents here, 6 cents here.
Yeah. And mine's just to prove a resume to immigration.
Yeah, we'd much rather someone who'd born and never left Balcombe Hills, you know? like that would be gold for us. No, yeah, this is good.
And the chicken shop there is pretty good. Yeah.
No, we love it. We love it. So you're born over. Where were you born?
I was born in Tonga, Vavaul Tonga.
Wow, okay. Yeah. And then went Cairns very young, too young, remember?
I would have been like, I think I was three when we left.
Right.
And then spent time growing up in like New South Wales and like Central Coast, Muswellbrook. I lived in Bathurst for a few years, lived in Sydney for a bit, moved to Darwin.
We're going
to
get so many episodes out.
Yeah. So I'm pretty well travelled, guys. All these people go on Contiki tours overseas.
Yeah, it's like Muswellbrook, Gosford, you know, that bad.
All the hits.
All the hits. But then take us back to then Cairns came up as a job opportunity, did it? Is that how you went back part two?
So I ended up in Cairns. I was in Darwin at the time doing my first like year of first couple of years of radio.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of always wanted to move back to Cairns. So even when I was a kid, it was just always, I think my dad kind of put it into my head and like mum, like it was this great place, go to Cairns.
Yeah.
So then when the opportunity came up with radio, I got an offer to do breakfast there. So I just jumped at it and was like, yeah, I'm going to move over. The top end to the far north.
Mm-hmm.
So very similar ideas. But I moved to Cairns, did brekkie radio there for 4 and a bit years.
Wow, that long?
Yeah.
Far
out. What an early start.
2015 to 2014 or something, 2019, something like that. Yeah.
Jeez. Okay. And you said it ended perfectly. No need to explore any rest of that. What was it like? Well, so I mean, maybe talk. So Breakfast Radio in Cairns. Is it just a copy paste of Breakfast Radio in Sydney? As in, like the call ins, the bits you're doing, mate. The segments. It's all the same stuff.
I think the other difference is you don't have a team of people doing it for you.
Yeah.
So it's you and the other person doing it, and that's it.
Yeah.
And you're like, you're taking the calls. And like, so if people are ringing up being like, that Shad's fucking sucks, like, which is what happens. As soon as you move somewhere, they fucking hate you. Like, as soon as you get there, you're the new person. They're like, fuck this guy.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
So were you teamed up with like an established dude?
No, well, it was actually a woman.
Look, that was my prejudice about far north Queensland. I thought they weren't ready for women on the radio.
But to be fair, radio hates women. That's the like golden rule. Guy and girl, sure. Guy and guy, great. Woman and woman. Bloody hell, we got to take the show off once. Look around the country.
Girls are tipsy today.
I'm trying to think of something to prove you wrong, but it's crazy. It's not possible.
It's fucking nuts, dude. Yeah. When you work in radio, you see how like they try to dance around the fact they just will not.
They can't do it.
Yeah. I have co-hosts. I'll go on a break, and my co-host, like Carly, and another one's Alara at the time, but I'll be like, I'm going to go. And they'll be like, oh, I'll get like, what's her name from whatever, like a media company or whatever in Cairns. And they'll be like, oh, no, we'll get like, maybe we'll get Pete.
We'll get Jono, the guy that does the security garbage guard.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure the guy, you know who's here, the cleaner's here. Right?
They say he has a face for radio. Let's test it out.
You look around, like no network does it. You know the only place they let an all-women show exists? 3 o'clock in the afternoon when mums are picking up the kids from home. Isn't that fucking crazy?
Yeah, that is 100% true.
But, you know, I got paid more than my co-host, so whatever.
But I love it as well when it's like the two blokes who are best friends and then the radio's like, oh my God, I got the women off. They'll find one girl, they'll throw her into the mix, has no chemistry with the two, and the guys clearly hate her, and the girl's doing her best. And it's like just...
It's brutal.
It's just the worst. You know?
Yeah, they'll prop them up being like, just be a laugh track for the fellas.
Yeah, just chime in every now and then.
Yeah, so, the stuff that I remember having to talk to, like, or hear in production meetings in those shows, you'd just be like, you could not... You could write a book and then so many people would just be like, fuck, that's me. I'm going to lose my job. But all the people I worked for under that time, I got fired, but like, I guess we'll cut to it. I got fired for calling Scott Morrison a cunt inadvertently on purpose in 2019. But all the people that fired me back then just are no longer there, all lost their jobs over the period, probably in the last 12 months, which has been fantastic for me.
Yeah. It's a light to watch on LinkedIn as they change their...
Just going, fuck, yeah. I mean, one got, what was it? I mean, I don't know, name names, but like I think one got broke the drug policy at one of the Christmas parties, which I think is a fantastic one.
Didn't do cocaine.
What's going on?
Are you a team player or not, mate? Look at this big fat line you're going to turn down. Right.
But it's, I did Brekkie Radio in Cairns, which was... fun. It's like I said, it's rough when you start because you go, I was taking over from a guy who I knew, like I was mates with the team and stuff, but you kind of, as soon as you get on, the Facebook's flooded. Like when I got to Darwin, I started on air for a different station, like they were the same company, and then they moved me to Breakfast, and it's my first time doing Brekkie, and like never done it before, first time doing it. They announced me as the co-host, and then our Facebook page was like flooded with, you know, this Shad guy sucks, not listening anymore, all this kind of shit. And I was kind of like, then I was still young and didn't give a fuck. And I was kind of like, whatever, fuck you, darling. You've only got three stations. It's either me or the oldies. Like, you're going to have to deal with it. But this one bloke, it was literally one person, went to every post we'd put on for the last 24, 48 hours and just wrote, Shad sucks, he's awful, like on old posts. Just spent his whole night. And I came into the office the next day and they were a bit like everyone's a bit bashful, like, oh, you know, you're all right, whatever. And I was like, man, I don't know what the problem is. This guy's my number one fan. Who stayed up pushing me around? All night?
Just
on his brain.
At least he's going to listen. Every day.
He's in.
He's just got like signs on the way. Don't listen to Shad. 102.3. Between, you know, like, I guess that must suck. But it's so true. Like, they hate, normally it's like they hate, this guy sucks. They get fired. New team. Mm. They're not as good as those guys.
I remember when Matt O'Kine and Alex left Triple J and they're like, we're getting two comics from Adelaide. And they're like, what the fuck is this?
And Matt has like a whole thing in his show, and like he's spoken heaps about how awful Triple J listeners were to him when he first started. Yeah. Like getting up in the morning and seeing the text line just saying how bad you are.
And it must be worse because you got to get up at fucking 4 a.m. or some nonsense, right?
Yeah, if you're that dedicated.
Cairns Breakfast Radio starts at 11 a.m.
Happy hour at the pub, guys. No, I when I first moved there, they put you up for a comm for a couple of weeks. Yeah. And then they're like, you got 2 weeks of a comm and then, you know, find somewhere to live. And you're like, I'm on Gumtree and stuff, just trying to find somewhere to stay. And there was this really nice looking apartment right next to the studio. And there was a room in there, it was like $200. I was like, how cheap? Pool and all this shit. And I was like, oh, I'll write to him. The guy's name was Aggie, like A-G-I. I don't know if it was like Aggie, Aji, something like that. And I was like making jokes. And I'm like, oh, it's some fucking Indian fellow is going to get me to like, some rich fellow is going to have me like dressed up as a businessman from Dubai or some shit. I'll be like, yeah, thank you for the $200 room. And I was sitting there waiting. He finally messaged me back. He goes, I'll meet you for a coffee. And I was thinking, this is going to be fucking funny. Mm. Like this dude that's going to come or whatever. And I'm waiting and waiting, and the message is like, oh, where are you? I'm out the front. And I look out the front, and there's this tall, blonde German woman there.
Oh, right.
And her name's Agoneshka. We like, became good mates because I ended up moving to the house. But I was like, fuck, I thought you were going to be some business dude that was going
to
like...
I'm going to have to wash your feet and stuff.
I was like, well, why is the house so good? She goes, mate, there's about four of us living in the thing. Like in this awesome joint. So I lived right next door to the radio station. So the longest part of my trip to work was the elevator down from my apartment. So dream. I went pretty... loose in my first like year and a bit of Cairns radio, because yeah, like Gilligan's was just, you know, open till 2-3 a.m. every night,
right?
And you go and party and, you know, get on it, you'd become mates with all the, like, being a big fish in a small pond is fucking awesome. I cannot remember it anymore. All these people going, oh, you're a big fish. Like, yeah, dude, I fucking love the pond. It's sick being the big fish. I want to be a small fish in a big fucking pond. Get out of here,
it's too much pond.
Yeah, what are you talking about? I want to feel the size of the pond. That's how big I want to be. It was awesome because you know people that own joints, you kind of like, you're partying and stuff. But when you're doing Brekkie Radio and you're rocking up on air, like still pretty fucked up.
So your sunglasses on mate, inside, like, on
and you'd have a, because it's just the two of you, you've just got a unwritten rule with your co-host of how far you can push it or whatever, burning the candle at both ends. But then I'd get busted because the Gilligan's guys would take photos at the club, like out for the night, and I'd be sitting there like hung, we'd push to a show, and then I'd be like, I'd need a crash. And the boss would come in and be like, hey, how is everyone? And we'd try and play it off. Ah, fine, just, yeah, it's been a big week, whatever. And then he'd just, like, pull up his phone. There's a set of pictures. I think it's still on the Gilligan's page. And it's me like this, like, and my eyes are fucking, like, all purple. And I'm just like, oh, I don't know what to tell you, man. Looks like me. Couldn't be, man. I would have been in bed.
Yeah. Must have been in the morning after the shift. Must have been 11 a.m. after my shift.
Yeah, that's me after four coffees, man.
Oh, fuck. So then, you know, you're doing that, but everything's going okay, right? Like the fire, you said it was the ScoMo thing. Was everything?
Oh, but does it settle down? Do people like, is it like Shad's a cunt? Then after 2 years, people are like, Shad's all right?
Yeah, I think so. Well, we like, I mean, I don't want to brag, but number one breakfast show, never lost a survey, we killed it. We were doing really well. And it was, wasn't just me, obviously, there's other people in it. To be honest, I probably worked the least out of a lot of people, but. But it was, yeah, we were killing it. It was really fun. It was one of the best. I kind of laugh with a few people that have, like, been in radio before and do comedy and stuff. Like, me and Kidrill actually talked about this the other day, where it's like, it is one of the funnest jobs.
Yeah.
Because
it's
just mucking around, really. Mm. You're just getting paid to talk shit for 3 hours.
Cody was telling us that.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, you just
he's got real good. He's got a fucking team of producers.
And he's like, and they'll send you on, like, fucking holidays and stuff with the idea to being Vegas. Like, hey, you like to drink beer. Drink beer for 2 weeks. Yeah. And he's just like, yeah.
And like,
all right, cuff me.
Whatever. Oh, I'm a company man. You know?
But yeah, get those KPIs, baby.
Regional's like, obviously... You got to do more when you're in regional. Like, it's a lot of standing out the front of Harvey Norman being like, oh, they all said ATV is pretty good, Daryl.
Yeah.
And like, most of your interviews are fucking old mate that's, you know, been working at Harvey Norman since he was stocking the shelves. And
now
he's taken over the electricals corner. And like, that you got to make that fucking interesting for some reason. But like, yeah, it's just fucking fun talking shit. But it started to settle down and was really good. And then
2019 comes around.
Yeah, 2019 came around. So I got to a point where I didn't really want to leave Cairns. I was kind of like, this is good. Like I said, big fish, small pond. I started doing a lot more comedy. That was where I kind of started probably doing it. Started like a little room and met some more people and went to like Fringe one year and stuff like that. And it's kind of starting to grow.
Yep.
Convinced them to let me fly down and do like open mic spots, which is pretty fun. They're like, yeah, you got it. I'm going to fly down and do some open mic spots. We're going to do the show remotely for my big open mic spot. Yeah, I'm down here in Townsville for like 5 minutes. But I got to a point in 2019 where I got offered a job at Triple M on the Central Coast.
Mm.
And eventually I was like, okay, I'll do it. I'll go down and make the move. And I'd just gotten back from my holidays. They like force you to take holidays at the end of the year. And they were like, okay, like it's all approved. We're ready to go. Basically, you just got to get through your last week. And then you start the following week down in the Sunny Coast. And they'd done heaps. They'd fly me down there to do like some demo shows. And I was hanging over from Akmal. So I'd like gone down there and met the whole team and all that shit. They had billboards up apparently already, being like, he's coming. It's going to be a good show.
Yeah.
And then, I got the whole get through your last week. I was like, fuck, I'll shit this in. Radio's easy. Who cares? And then Scott Morrison came on the show on Tuesday to like talk shit. Like when politicians come on, I gotta say this like whenever they ask, like when you're on a Brekkie radio show and a poly comes on, you've got to do like half the interview, let him say everything I want to say. Other half the interview, just take the piss and make it silly.
Sure.
But at the end, their media team like swarm the studio and like take photos of you for ages and they move you and you're like, you're just doing all these photos so they can just get at least one to put up on social. And that was happening in the studio, and it was me, ScoMo, my co-host, and I just happened to be holding a novelty mug that had the word cunt written on it. And there, it was that photo that he shared on all of his social media.
And is it? If I remember correctly, is it not the handle of the mug is the C or something?
Yeah, so the handle's the C. It's some really creative stuff, guys. Because
otherwise it's like you're not going down just as cunt straight on a mug.
It's like the way it works. So for those who are trying to imagine.
I can't picture this.
So, okay, look, you got a whiteboard here? But yeah, the handle's the C and then the UNT is on the mug. It's like the Northern Territory has one.
UNT, right. But that's why he maybe didn't get it, because he's a fucking imbecile.
Yeah.
Right.
And look, you know, it wasn't planned. Like when I got fired, they put a news article out and they were like, oh, this is a prank gone wrong. And they planned this stunt. It's like, it wasn't that at all. Yeah. There's videos of me in the studio talking to him between breaks and I'm just drinking out of it. I had no idea because it's not even mine. It was the office mug.
Yeah.
And I'm just drinking out of it. But what happened is in the photo, and I can't really deny this, but like in the photo, I've obviously realized what I'm holding through the course of all the photos being taken. And then I'm kind of holding the mug in a presentation.
This guy mouthing it. Can't see you. Big old cunt.
I've got it sitting on the palm of my hand. Like no one walks in around me. I'm holding it.
This is how I drink my coffee.
What do you mean? But yeah, so I'm holding it like that. And to be fair, I reckon you can't even really see what it fucking says on there.
Yeah.
But everything was fine. That happened on the Tuesday. It was all good. I went back to work for the next few days. No issue. Then on the Thursday was my last show. We did a goodbye and it was all this kind of nice thing. And I left and I got into my car with like all my shit, all my life packed up in it. And I had my dog in the driver's seat, She's driving.
I've had too much. Scruffy.
Like, good boy. Good boy. Take me to Gilligan's, mate. These pupils are a little too small for my liking.
But yeah, I had my dog in the car with me and my girlfriend at the time. She was like, I've just quit my job, put in the notice, 6-figure job. I'm going to meet you down there. In a few weeks, get us all set up. Can't wait to start our new life. And I'm like, fuck yeah, this is sick. We're killing it.
Yeah.
And I leave Cairns. And between the drive from Cairns to Mackay, which is kind of like your halfway point, the photos started doing the rounds on Twitter.
Oh, nice. And so this like is three days after it originally was posted.
And my phone started. And I'd gotten a message that day from a guy from the Cairns Post, like News Limited, who was like, just saying like, you leaving Cairns, like, is this because of the Scott Morrison incident? And I said, nah, mate, I just said, I've gotten like a new gig down at Triple M. And that was it. And I just left it, which kind of shot me in the foot later. But I didn't realize it was an interview when you get a message on Instagram from someone you don't know.
Yeah,
but I could get like, it's all blowing up. And I get a phone call early morning in Mackay when I'm about to head off, and it's the boss, and he's like, can you come to the Mackay office for a quick chat? Like, we need to have a chat. And I was like, man, this hasn't got anything to do with the mug, does it? And he was just like, well, yeah. Like, oh, so I pull up at the Mackay office. I get out of my car. I take my dog with me because I'm not going to leave her in the car. And I go up into the office, and in the boardroom, like I do this at a show, so I'm trying not to go too bitty when I'm telling you the story. Yeah, but like, yeah. I go into the boardroom, and on the TV screen at the end of the long table is the boss, right? His name's Mickey, mm-hmm. and he was on the TV screen. And then there's just this lady sitting at the end of the table. And the first thing Mickey says is, he goes, mate, take a seat. This is Karen. She's your support person. Nope. And immediately I was like, oh, I'm fucked.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't going to be a scenario in this at all where it's like...
Now, sit down because you're getting a promotion, mate.
Karen's a big fan of the joke, just watching us. Yeah.
That sucks. We want you to make more mugs.
But I sat down at the table, I was thinking, fuck me, like, you know, what? I was like, oh, I'll just... It'll be
Does
fine.
Your girlfriend know anything about it at this point?
No.
Because between you've left Cairns,
yeah.
you haven't been fired, so you've just had a great send-off. You're going well.
Yeah.
And it's the drive that does you in.
Yeah, it's all fine. Nothing yeah. was like, nothing was brought up. Nothing was an issue. There was actually, to be honest, people in the office laughed about it. Mm. I did put a thing up on my socials, like a quick story, just the laughing at it. And there's like, the story got shared, but I think it got cropped. Because I say on the top of it, I just reshare ScoMo's story. And I'm like, oh, ScoMo gets it.
Yeah.
Like, right. yeah, whatever. And, but yeah, like that was kind of the only thing that happened. No one said, take it down until the night before I got a call that was like, have you got anything up online about it? I was like, nah, there's nothing up there. And they're like, all right, leave it that way. And they actually did say to me, they're like, you might have to do some social media training and that'll kind of be it. I was like, cool. So when I sat down at the thing, the guy that's, I still remember like what he said to me too. He was like, you went away to deliberate and it was like 2 minutes. I was like, there's no way you've done an investigation in 2 minutes. You already knew what you're doing. But he goes, you embarrassed the company. You embarrass the CEO, you embarrass the Prime Minister, you're fired effective immediately. Whoa. And then the TV turned off.
Oh, no, like the screen is made. That's super villainous.
Yeah, exactly.
I was like, what the fuck?
And I remember, where were you, Karen?
Karen was turning it off.
She had the remote.
Turn this back off.
She was waiting for the moment and you're fired.
Trying to press the input button. I think it's HDMI 2.
You know what she did do though, my support person? I'm sitting there wigging out and it's like a dead silence in the room because I'm freaking out. I'm like, close to tears because I'm like, I've got no money. I've just come back from a holiday.
Yeah.
I've got no job. I'm in Mackay. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I'm just kind of fripped, like, I'm, what the fuck am I going to do? And then Karen goes, I'll go get you a glass of water. And I'm just like, fuck, she's killing it.
Thank God, Karen. Like,
problem solved.
But
she comes out with a mug just fired on it.
I'm like, why is this hand on
it? Why is it a weird air hand?
Oh, fuck. You're just looking at it being like, ired? What does that mean? Like, no, you got to read the handle.
The very last moment that happened, though, after like while she left, I was wigging out and my dog was kind of still in the office wandering around and I kind of pushed her away because the dog just comes up to me and she went to the corner of the room and did a shit on the carpet.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
And I just, she knew. And like, this is 100% true. I got up, grabbed the dog, and I just went, like, good girl. And I, before anyone came back, I just left.
Yeah.
Got in the car and drove to Brisbane. And then, you know, I ended up, now I just live in Brisbane, which is pretty much it. But like, that shitting on the carpet
that rules.
Was one of the best, like, full stops to the moment happening. Yeah. That I was, like, kind of laughing, freaking out, but like, also laughing in the car. Just like, that's what am I going to do? But also, that's good gear, mate.
She was your support person, the dog. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's what you needed from Karen. It's just
shit on the floor.
Mate, that rumor went through the radio industry, though, about the dog, like, relieving himself in the office because I tried to, like, I thought I'd get another call for, like, a radio gig or something.
Yeah.
I was like, I was good enough for that gig. Like, someone will give me something.
Yeah.
I didn't get a call for like ages at all, really. And then I kind of spoke to some mates and I started to realize that, like, in the radio industry, all that lady would have seen was like, I'll go get you some water. Leaves, comes back, shit on the floor. Oh, yeah. God.
Yeah.
I was like, just me with a big last minute fuck you to the company.
So, was that, do you reckon, like, 2019, was ScoMo on top at that point? Was that like, was he, like, because I feel like
2020 undid him, right? I'm
thinking, like, if ScoMo was on the outer in terms of like public opinion, do you reckon you would have
you would have not been as hard?
I like to say I did it before it was cool.
And
I kind of did because I was just, like 2 months later, he got re-elected. So he won the March or something, 2019 election. So I was kind of like, fuck, I thought I read the room, but I've actually absolutely fucked it there.
Yeah.
Mate, I got messages. I'd get some messages from people like, if you're in Brisbane, mate, I'd love to buy you a beer. And then I'd have like a fuck ton of messages being like, you fucking dog, how dare you say that about the problem? Like all this shit. And it's just like, whoa.
That's so stupid.
Did you ever hear anything from like his team or anything saying like, oh, you got fired because of us? Or like, did you ever put it out there being like, hey, ScoMo, like you got me fired, brother? Like,
I reckon if I had my time again, I'd probably would have doubled down more potentially.
Yeah.
I feel like it's easy to say that because in 2020 you shit the bed so badly.
Yeah.
But like at the time, I don't know if it would have worked. But like,
it'd be cool if that made the guy from Darwin that hated you love you. Like he's like, reinstate Shad, free Shad.
Yeah, you know what? Funnily enough, Darwin people reached out to me because they thought it was the See You in the NT merchandise.
Yeah,
which was pretty fun. I was like, yeah, it was, dude. 100%. Right to your local member.
Yeah.
But no, I kind of, I had people tell me to just like lay low and you'll get something and rah rah, which didn't really work out. I should have doubled down. I got asked to be on K&J, like Kyle and Jackie O, and I was kind of like, oh, nah, because my girlfriend was freaking out. I was like, oh, I can't really, you know, double down and fuck up everyone else's like world at the time. And but then he ended up just doing like a 1 minute tirade about how fucked SEA is because he hates him so much. So I was just like, cool, thanks, man.
But so you because the narrative probably came across that you were like, it was like a prank that you planned all day, but you know, your side of the story just sounds like it's just a mix up.
No, so I was just a bit of an idiot. Yeah. Thinking something to be funny and then fucking it up royally. It's just bombing, really.
It's just a bad bomb.
It's like, guys, come on, book me again.
Oh, no. Have you been to Cairns since? You drove out that door. You've gone up there a bit and stuff like that.
So, like, my mate.
You're up there, like, going, the new radio guy sucks. He's not as good as
Shad. Mate, I'm on the notice board. They don't even do a breakfast show anymore. I think the show after me was the last one.
Oh,
and then they can't. I go up there because my family lives there now, so I kind of go there a little bit less. But I, Peter James, I do gigs with, he runs a club there, so I'll go up and do gigs there and stuff. Right. I love Cairns. It's the fucking best. But, just, you know, I still think it was funny.
It would be interesting now, like, to run into ScoMo and be like, man, you got me fired.
It'd be pretty good.
And imagine if he was like, dude, you got me fired. 2 years later, obviously.
I was annoyed that when they brought up all of his gaffes, mine didn't come up.
Yeah.
So I was kind of like, if anyone's supposed to lose their job in that scenario, it's the fucking media team, isn't it?
Yeah, of course.
The Prime Minister.
Yeah, because 100%. You didn't, like, they he posted that the first instance. That's the crazy part.
Yeah, they shared.
You guys, I never shared it. You shared it.
Yeah. Yeah, that's on them.
That's brutal.
I have a small Cairns business. Just speaking of like places using social media to kind of fuck around at the business and just showing how much things, I guess, have changed in terms of like, because, you know, back then people would see something go viral and the business wouldn't know what, they don't know how to deal with it. So they go, fucking fire him. Like, just don't be funny. Like, but now there's a Pacific Toyota outlet in Cairns.
That's where my ex used to work.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I cannot get enough of these guys. They post all these Instagram like ads for the Toyota, but they're just fucking taking the piss. This one is bizarre. This is the first one I saw where I was like, what is fucking going on up there? So it's like full anime like waifu.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So this is the ad.
This is a business. This is a Toyota
dealership.
No, it's not always about the ooh or the sometimes it's just about the.
Well, then this Subaru BRZ is a one.
Selling a Toyota. It's a
dual climate control and these sports.
Is he got a drawing of an anime?
He's got a waifu next to him.
With your waifu in style. Hey, boo. Do you want to look the part but get absolutely smoked off the lights? Well, then this Toyota. Subaru BRZ is the one for you. Alrighty guys, this one here is for the Japanese connoisseurs. And don't worry, the waifu won't have to stress because she's in stock, ready to go.
He's loving that he knows waifu.
Yeah.
Come see me, Aaron.
That is weird, so niche. But it's awesome.
Yeah. But who's the target demo? Like, Toyota guy.
I have just bought four Toyotas.
Yeah, exactly. You.
I don't know if any of these fucking anime nerds with the bloody girl pillow have got enough money to buy a new car.
Yeah, like, that one stands out because it's so odd. But the most of them are like something like this, which is just pretty classic standard. I'll just play one more.
I love this, yeah.
Hey, mate, are you divorced, over 40, and love wearing your favourite Tarakas shirt to the races? Have we got your next lifestyle change? To start off, it's a hard top, so you don't have to worry about getting your bald spot burnt while you're taking your new fling on a Sunday drive. On the inside, it's immaculate, and don't worry about those shot knees from your glory days playing footy, because it's an auto. And with the 5-litre engine, the fuel economy's, but don't worry, your bookie said your horse is a sure thing, so that'll cover it. If you're worried about being single forever, come and see me, Brody, pick up this Mustang and go find the love of your life. Chicks dig Mustangs. Hey, mate, are you divorced?
These guys are crushing it.
Oh, yeah, and they're all so funny. I've spent like an hour.
Can we look
up
Pacific Toyota and see if that Mustang is still available?
We can.
I feel like that one's way better than the first one.
I'll give him a call.
That's going to get someone for
someone's
sure.
Someone's having a fucking blast up there. I don't know. It's like if they're
selling cars.
Yeah, selling that. That's what I was going to say. Like, it sounds like it's one of those businesses that's like viral Australia-wide, but locally. The guys in Cairns, I'm not kind of those fucking weirdos.
And also, like, you know who takes themselves way too seriously, like balding divorced who are suddenly obsessed with cars. They're not going to be like, I'm in on the joke.
Yeah, he's right. My bald spot.
I've been waiting for a hard top.
There's a one I follow, which is like, it's like an Indian curry house in like the UK or something or somewhere, okay, and they do like parody songs.
Is that the butt chicken place?
Heaps of songs, and they're fucking awesome.
There's one in the Sunny Coast that's an Indian restaurant, and it's they post memes, like a lot of Family Guy memes where they just add like Rajishi's Indian restaurant where the punchline should be. It's so funny.
Because it's some business owner, some Indian like old guy, and then they're like, you got to get on the social media. He's like, and his nephew's like, I'll do it. And so his nephew just posts whatever stupid meme.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, if there's one thing Indians know, it's fucking social media. Yeah. I mean, I've got heaps of them in my day.
Oh, fuck. I did like... So, in Cairns, you said going out. So, what was it? Gillian's was the nightclub. Is that
Gillies is a big one. Obviously, like, the younger kind of, crowd at Gillies. And then they had, like, the Wool Shed, which is... the Wool Shed, you could dance up on the tables.
Beautiful.
So, like, and they had a cage on the roof so you could, like, hold onto it while you're dancing.
Fuck, right.
But I went back to Cairns just my last trip there, and because I had mates who used to manage it. And the thing in Cairns is, like, all the managers would just, they'd lose a job at one and they go and work at the next one, and they just work in this circle. But I was talking to one of them. He goes, you can't dance on the tables at the Wool Shed anymore. I was like, why? And he goes, some chick fell off, broke her leg, and sued the venue. So they don't know it. I'm like, what a fucking bitch. Because the thing is, when I lived there, two different people fell off and broke their leg. They didn't fucking stop the fun.
They kept it to themselves.
They put a fucking moon boot on. They
that's why we have Medicare.
Exactly. What do you mean?
I hate that.
So you can't do it anymore. But now there's a club there that my mate used to be the bar manager there. I don't know if he's an owner or he's a bar manager of this next one, but it's... fuck, I can't remember the name, but the way you enter is through a laundry washer door that's a slide.
that's fun.
I don't know if it's still, I think it's still up and running. It's like a big Mad Monday venue for a lot of people, but it's like they've got a door, but it's like, do you want to slide in?
Slide?
Like, fuck, of course I want to
slide in for a pint there, you know? That's so cool. I love it. I got a bit of a long story. It involves the Cairns region, but it's crazy. I saw this ages ago. I wanted to bring up in a couple of pods. I'm so glad we got you on to do Cairns because this is the Cairns region was the site of what was being described as one of the most difficult and troubled movie productions in Hollywood history. Okay. Have you guys heard about this?
Is this something to do up in the Daintree or something?
Is this the Val Kilmer thing? Yeah.
So they filmed in the mid 90s. They tried to film The Island of Dr. Moreau in Cairns,
right,
and in the Cairns region, and it's effectively the worst film production of all time. Like, there's so much
it's
drama.
It's like Marlon Brando's final role,
yes,
right?
Yes, it's Brando and Kilmer in Cairns.
Yep.
It's unreal.
Just I love that. I would watch that movie.
Yeah.
That's the new movie.
Dance hanging from the cage. You go check it out. Yeah. I can't do an impression of either of them.
I'll go through the details of it, but basically there's this London director called Richard Stanley, and he's one of those like art. He made a couple of like art house, low budget sci-fi movies that got really popular and famous, right? And everyone was like really into these movies, and he was like the next big director on the scene, sort of thing. Yep. And so he ambitiously wrote the Island Dr. Moreau film spec because he loved H.G. Wells and
they were, you know, got all this buzz in the industry and all this stuff. And then he's like, I want to make this low budget movie of this story. And then one of the, you know, one of the guys, the producer guys were like, oh, well, let's get Brando for it. Right. And Brando had been in like 50, the last 50 movies had been a nightmare. Like at this point, he's sort of like insane.
Yeah.
But anyway, they get Brando attached. And then because they get Brando attached, all these big stars want to be in on it. And so it goes from being this small budget movie to being this massive film. So they get Bruce Willis, they get all these people attached to it, right? Nice. But then he's just like, he's made two low budget student movies in London, and now he's on this like $50 million budget movie with Brando and Bruce Willis. And but then
student, is he like, he's a student?
No. I mean, he's not like an 18-year-old kid in his little school tie. And he's like, hey, Mr. Willis, I'm just wondering. Marlon Brando. He's just never done anything more than like five people in a camera. Right? It just sort of unravels that he's, and Brando loves him for some reason. They all think that Brando's going to get him off the film, but Brando loves him because this guy, Richard Stanley, he's a direct, long-distant descendant from adventurer Stanley, that Henry Morton Stanley, who's like an inspiration to Kurtz. Marlon Brando's still in Apocalypse Now mindset, and he's sort of lost his mind. But they're like, he just loves this guy. This guy's great, you know, this guy's great. Anyway, what all this chaos happens, it starts, Bruce Willis gets divorced. He's off the movie. Right?
Yep.
They're like, we need to replace.
What a pussy.
Yeah.
You're going to Cairns, mate.
Yeah.
That's a great way. Somebody get over it.
Buy a Mustang, you know what I mean? You're already bald, Bruce.
It's a lot of bald spot for you, Bruce. We'll take care of it.
But so Bruce Willis is off, and Val Kilmer's just done Batman Forever. And they're like, we need a big star. Val Kilmer's huge. Val Kilmer, though, is the biggest ego. I don't know. Did you ever see Val, the movie that's come out recently about his...
Where he can't talk.
Yeah, but it's a history of his life. And he's clearly just a manic ego guy, but now he's a bit more humble. But I think for a while that he was just a complete head case. But he turns up and he goes, I only want to be 40% of the time you want me here. You want me for 3 months, I'll only be for 2 months. So they have to be like, well, he can't be this role. He has to be this role. And they switch it all around. And then the other thing that happens is that Brando's daughter dies. So Brando goes upset, insane, goes back to he's got his own island on the French in French Polynesia, and he won't answer any calls.
He goes real life Dr. Kurtz.
Yeah, he is like just become Kurtz again, right? So then they go, we're doing this movie, but they identify Cairns and like it's like it's got the right you know, look climate. Of, yeah, climate. Yeah. It's foliage. Got the right foliage. It looks good.
It's got Gilligan's.
It's got Gilligan's.
It's got a great party.
Yeah.
So there's crocs there. Missing.
Val moves in with Argy, $200 a week. He's having the time of his life.
But they're looking at, I don't know if you know some of the geography, but Cape Tribulation, Bramston Beach, all these rainforests around. They're like, great, great, perfect location. Yep. Island of Dr. Moreau, if you don't know, it's like the, it's like this guy who makes animals on his island, and it's this weird.
Oh, the mad scientist guy.
Yeah, right. Gotcha. So
he's like, I'm going to make a monkey dolphin.
Man. Yes, sick. Exactly. So that's the story. So it's got to be like this literal island that they watch. This guy washes up on, and he sees this crazy doctor. Right. They get some other people for the movie. Ron Perlman's in it, and Fairuza Balk, who you probably don't know the name, but she's like that real gothy girl who's like Vicky Valancourt from Waterboy, or she's like the girlfriend of American History X. Craft.
Oh, yep. I know.
You know, she's got this real gothy look. And so they've got all these actors. And then so Brando, he's just not turning up to set. They don't know what's going on with him, right? Oh, yeah. Like he's not arriving. He's not on his phone. He's gone. He's lost it. But they're there. They start, all right, we got to do something. So they start building a set. And then Val Kilmer turns up. And Val Kilmer is like the biggest fucking nightmare. Apparently Val Kilmer, they were like, all right, Val, you're going to be over there and you're going to shoot there. And he's like, why? And they're like, well, you got to do it. And he's like, it's not going to work. Like you're just walking towards a door, you're opening a door and you're going through the door, Val. He's like, it's not going to work.
I don't think my character would go through.
Yeah. He's just being a complete psychopath. And all they can do is film the start of the movie because Brando hasn't turned up and he's in the last two thirds of the movie. And the start of the movie is all outside. It's about him turning up on the thing. It starts pissing down rain, hurricane. It's rain every day. They can't film anything. And the entire set washes out to sea, right? Right? So this guy, he's never done.
Keep the cameras rolling.
Yeah.
That is so awesome.
Yeah. Oh, so, and like, so they're basically just sitting inside. It's raining. They can't film a single inside scene because Brando's in all of them. He's not there. Val Kilmer's bullying every single person on this set. He's just like, what? He's going up to people and he's like, this guy's an actor. And he's like, why is he, what's his character doing? And they're like, well, why does he, he shouldn't be in this scene. And like, we don't even need this guy. Like, we don't need you on this set. Like, just bullying all these actors. And everyone hates Val Kilmer.
Yeah, bro, we're not even doing it.
Yeah.
It's a fucking cyclone.
Yeah. The camera's in the ocean.
It's so ridiculous.
Val Kilmer's just standing there being like, line.
Yeah.
Apparently, what are you doing, Val?
Batman wouldn't do this.
Yeah. So apparently there was this great line. There's a, by the way, there's a great, I watched this movie called, it's called Lost Souls, and it's about this movie. It's like the Heart of Darkness to the movie. So it's fucking unreal. It's on Amazon. So watch it if you're interested in this, but apparently there's one line where Val Kilmer goes to Richard Stanley, the director. He's like, Richard, directors stand behind the camera, actors are in front of the camera. Now go stand behind the camera. That's what he's saying, like the biggest cut moves, right? And so because Brando was his like vouch, like he's this guy that no one knows, but Brando loves this guy, but Brando's not there, so he's got no authority, right? Mm. And then in the end, all this stuff, one of the other lead actors calls up Hollywood and he's like, get me off this fucking thing. There's all this tension. It's raining every day. I don't know what's going on.
I'm on a shit. I'm on a door.
I'm on a door.
I'm like, fuck. I'm out of the Great Barrier. It looks great.
It's unreal. So then they basically, they don't know what to do. New Line Cinema is like, we got to make a call here and we can't kill Val off because he's like the star now. He's like the, because Brando's not bankable. He's just like, everyone wants to work with Brando, the actors, but no one's going to a movie tickets. To see.
Yeah.
But Val's big. We can't get rid of Val. So then they fax to this Richard Stanley guy, you're off the movie. And it's his baby. He wrote it. He everything like that. He goes fucking insane. They tell him, if you leave quietly, we'll pay your full fee and we'll get you on a flight back to
fuck, LA. I would have liked that.
Dream result.
The full pay to that, you know.
Mate, in the car, I would have loved that. Yeah. Give me $280 and one session with a psych.
That's what they were probably in there being like, well, we've learned from the Richard Stanley thing.
I reckon you relate a lot to this Richard Stanley issue. There's a lot of this, right? So he gets told, leave amicably and all this, and we're going to next flight back to L.A. He reacts. He shreds all his documents. Mm-hmm. He shreds all the storyboarding. He just tears it all down. He threatens to burn down the set.
Gets his dog to shit on the floor.
Sits out in the ocean.
He's going to blow everything up, right? So then someone's like, get him to the fucking airport. So this production assistant and all the crew are all Cairns locals. They're just like,
sick.
Not, you know, like the helpers and the assistants and all this. So
they wouldn't give a fuck.
They wouldn't give a fuck. In this doco, this Lost Souls, it's great. There's two like Cairns fucking guys who were like clearly just like laborers, and they're just like, yeah, I fucking need. They rang me up, said take him to the airport, so I took him to the bloody airport, you know. And then so this guy drops him off at the airport, and then he's like, there you go, get on the plane. And the next day he gets a call, he's like, he didn't get on the plane, where is he? Richard Stanley's gone missing, no one knows where he is, right?
I reckon he's up on a table somewhere.
Yeah. So then
I reckon he's got full face paint. He's going to come out of the jungle. Yeah. Val and slice his throat.
So Fairuza Balk storms off set because she's friends with Rich. She's like, this is a bullshit. She screams that she's going to cut her heart out with a sushi knife because of what's happened.
Yeah, I think so.
New to me. It'd be better if it's sharp than dull, right?
Yeah, that's why I said I've... Because sushi knife is dramatic. Such a specific
such a little delicate way that she's going to do it.
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Like, it must be sharp.
It's like a surgeon's
knife. Like, because if you're like, I'm going to use a butter knife. And you'd be like, fuck,
and I'm going to get some wasabi. I'm going to put it on a nice bit of rice.
It's going to be a delicacy.
Chuck it on a plate. It's going to come out on the tray.
Is there little dainty plates for the soy sauce?
So it's like, if I saw like human heart on the sushi train, I'm like, what color plates are? I
don't know. Fairuza's mad again.
But then this is how crazy she, you know, Americans don't really understand Australian geography. She gets in a car and she says, drive me to Sydney.
Oh, dear.
In a limousine. 2,500 kilometers.
Jesus.
It's like, I don't know, you did it. Oh, you
well, people
done
don't
it
realize.
She needs to get stopped in Mackay.
The distance from Cairns to Sydney is the same distance of Sydney to Melbourne.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
No, Cairns to Brisbane, right?
Brisbane,
is
yeah,
the same
it's
as
Brisbane
yeah,
to
yeah,
Melbourne.
Yeah.
It's like it's hard. You're halfway across Australia
you're
when
doing
you're
it
to Brisbane.
Like 2.5 times. Effectively.
It's crazy. It's unbelievable. So she gets there. They say, if you leave this film, you'll never work again. You know, whatever. So then she flies back to Cairns.
Also, if you cut your heart out, you'll never work again.
Yeah, that's almost certainly. But then Fairuza Balk says, at this point, is the beginning of the nightmare, right? Oh, so it's not even started yet, right? Wow. So they bring in a new line. They bring in a director called John Frankenheimer, who's like an old school 60s Hollywood director.
He made little bombs.
Yeah. Tiny little like $50,000 bomb. So he's done a bunch of movies. He hasn't had a hit in 20 years, but he's the only person who says yes. And apparently he's known to wrangle tough actors and stuff, right? So he came on board. He's never made a movie. He makes like gritty dramas. He doesn't make like freak animal costume bullshit. But he's like, whatever. He just gets a huge fee and they just say, fucking whatever. Brando shows up right at the same time, right? Right? Brando just fucking rocks up.
Speaking of huge freaks.
And so Brando turns up and Brando...
He's just like... Gets in, he's just like, all right, I'm over my daughter's death. Let's do this.
He's like, I'm in on a boat.
And I'm done empathizing.
It was a brutal 10 days.
Yeah. So Brando turns up.
I reckon half the set washed up on his little French Polynesian island. Yeah. That's where I'm supposed to be.
Oh, that thing.
Jumped in one of the bathtubs. Yeah.
So Brando turns up and this other director turns up. And the other director's like, we're doing a rewrite. You know, this is stupid, but he changes it and all this stuff. And they're like, and all the actors are like, this fucking is a nightmare. But Brando and Kilmer at this point's been a nightmare. Brando turns up and Brando's like likable, but Brando, it seems he doesn't want to act ever. Or he keeps thinking of ways to put things off. Like he just doesn't, he keeps like, well, I should do this. Brando comes up with this idea, apparently calls the New Line Cinema and he says he wants to wear a hat at all times, and then at the end of the movie he takes it off and he's half dolphin and
that's awesome. And so, well, I love that idea.
Brando's got all these ideas, and he's also, this is a great idea that Brando has, he's like, I should be, and this is true, this is what happens.
Did you say this is mid-90s?
Mid-90s.
So Brando's just read the first Harry Potter book and gone, fuck yeah.
Take the thing off. Head. Or inspired the other way. Like, yeah, I don't know when that book came out.
I think it was like 91.
But he does this thing where he goes, it's hot in Cairns. It's hot in this jungle. I should be hot all the time. And he paints his face white and he wears all these like linen cloth and stuff. He's like, I should always be, but he just is hot and he doesn't want it. And he's just like, oh, so I should be fanned down by people and all this. And also they're saying he paints his face white and wears all this cover up. And they say it's so that he can like get his stand in to be in every shot because you can't tell it's not him, right? So this is what he wears in the movie. He's like completely, he's completely covered in white paint and he's got like sunnies on and a hat.
Oh my God.
And then he looks like that's what he looks like.
That's just like the Invisible Man.
And then it's all these shots of him and that's not him because you can't really tell it's not him. So he comes up this ingenious way to cut his scenes down, right? So they're like, fucking whatever Brando says, just sort of do it, right? Brando refuses. This is the funniest fucking part. Oh, so Brando and Kilmer are like trying to big dog each other. Everyone on set is wearing latex dog marks and makeup and it's a million degrees and they're out on set for hours. Brando and Kilmer are in their air-conditioned trailer and neither one of them will leave until the other one leaves first. Right?
Oh,
and they're like, Kilmer won't leave until Brando does. Brando won't leave until...
So they're going to do like a 1, 2, 3.
And so they're fighting and everyone's on set just sweating like a pig and they look like a pig as well. So they're doing all this bullshit like that. It's escalating. Everyone's really mad about it. But this is the fucking part that killed me. So the constant rewrite. So Brando refuses to learn his lines. What he says is...
This guy is awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, just fucks off to an island for 10 days to be like, I'm going to grieve.
Yeah.
And then just resurfaces out of nowhere and he's like, all right, here's my ideas for the movie.
Yeah.
I'm part dolphin. I'm going to do white face.
I'm white
and this fat cunt over here is going to take my job back. Yeah. So you're going to pay me the same. Also, I'm not leaving unless that other prick over there leaves first.
That's
this is awesome.
I also don't want to do any work.
Yeah.
So this is the dream.
So he goes, I'm not going to learn my lines. So they get him a small radio receiver to have in his ear and his production assistant feeds him lines while they're filming thing. This is one of the actors says, so he sits there the whole film, he's got his head so he can hear the lines, and this actor, one of the actors is quote saying, Marlon would be in the middle of the scene and suddenly he'd be picking up police message on the radio and would start repeating, there's a robbery at Woolworths.
That's awesome.
It's like you couldn't write this.
How are we going to get off the island?
Yeah.
It's three offenders. Yeah.
And it's Chad in the morning here. And, oh, it's unbelievable.
Holy
so
shit.
It's just chaos, and everyone's like, this is just like, so everyone's dressed like this, and all the actors, that all the extras are all Cairns locals, because it's like, you just have to dress up as a dog person or whatever, yeah. You run around, like, and so they're like, they sort of hate it, but they also love it, because they're like, it was supposed to be a 3-week, 4-week shoot, this one girl's like, I was getting above rate, you know, whatever the dailies are as a extra thing, per diems. I was there for 6 months. It was fucking great.
Six months.
And she's, and then Brando, oh, there's so many other bits where he's, there's so many other great bits where he's fucking with everyone. Someone's like, hey, Brando, have you been out to the reef yet? The Barrier Reef? He's just trying to talk to him. Marlon, have you been? And he goes, reef? I own a reef. I got reefs coming out of my ass. And then this is one of this is such a
is
great
Val
bit.
Trying to one up it.
Yeah.
I'm pissing. Yeah.
Ever had a reef come out your dick hole?
Yeah. I just knocked out a reef there.
Check out my reef in the corner. Brando would fuck. There's an actor. There was a German actor like and Marlon's up to him and he's like, you're the German guy, right? And he's like, yeah. He speaks German. He's like, yeah. And he's like, like just pure gibberish. Yeah. And then the guy's like, sorry, I don't. And he's like, and then someone else who knows Brando enough to be like, I think what Marlon's saying is that it's like, you know, it's hot out here today. And then Marlon's like, exactly. He knows German better than you do. Like this, fucking with everyone. But then there's this guy on set. Drew will love this guy.
Oh, yeah.
Nelson De La Rosa, Dominican actor, the smallest man in the world.
Oh, beautiful. Okay?
This is a photo of Nelson with Diego Maradona. God. He's 71 centimeters tall.
Oh, wow.
Do you guys know Iman Hachi?
Yeah.
Iman is a meter. This guy's 30 centimeters shorter than
Holy shit.
Than Iman. This guy's, Marlon goes, Marlon's like.
So why would Drew love him?
Because he's a little dude. He would hate him.
No, I love it because like, I'd feel tall next to him.
Yeah.
Me.
So this guy's a Dominican actor, speaks Spanish. Marlon does the same thing with this guy. Oh, you're Spanish, but this guy's just a little dude and he's just like, yeah, say senor, just agrees. Mm. And Marlon goes, I love this guy. This guy needs to be in every scene with me. This is great. You guys aren't ready for this. He goes, he needs to be in every scene with me. He should be dressed exactly like me. He should be wearing
Mini-Me.
It is Mini-Me. Mini-Me was inspired by this guy.
For real?
Yes.
That's awesome.
Mike Myers said that Mini-Me is an inspiration of this movie because Marlon Brando has De La Rosa in every scene dressed exactly the same. And there's even a scene where he's on a piano playing his own little piano. And it's Mini-Me. And, you know, it's also this character inspires, I don't know if you remember South Park, Dr.
Mephisto.
Yeah, Mephisto. And his little dude, Frank or whatever his name is. That are both purely from this and purely from Brando's rewrite on the fly.
Yeah.
Feel like not knowing what the original film was supposed to be, I reckon it was nowhere near as good as this film is.
I like this one.
It actually.
Did they do the dolphin head idea? Please.
No, but he also. Don't do the dolphin head thing, but he wears an ice bucket on his head at all times.
Oh, ice bucket.
And
challenge.
They put ice in it. And he's just like so hot for some reason. And so there's this scene where Feruza is like pouring ice
in the movie.
He has an ice bucket on his head. He's like, I have to have something on my head. He just wants something.
And is he Dr. Moreau in this?
Yeah. So he's sort of crazy.
The scenes of him getting ice poured
into his head. There's scenes in this thing.
ALS.
Just because in real life he's a bit hot.
He's hot. Yeah. And he's just like, awesome. I must have ice in my head. And they just go, whatever Marlon says. The other thing, Nelson's a party animal, the little dude, and they would take him to party in Cairns nightclubs and he would just carve it up in Cairns, apparently. Mate. And everyone would love him.
Of course.
And they say that he was a very sexual little dude, apparently, and notorious for hitting on all women.
Oh, my God. And he's humping an ankle, like... the fucking Gilligan.
Yes. This is a great... So I'll finish in a minute, but it has a great ending, this story. So Frank and Ima, he also realized that they need more extras, right? Because it was like a smaller thing. And he's like, we need hundreds of people. They put a call out in Cairns in the paper. We need freaks. We need hippies. We need ferals. Anyone who's got an
ear. I love someone who reads that.
Yeah.
And goes, like, honey! I'm a feral.
Grab the kids, pack up the car, we're going on a family holiday.
I told you. For guys like us.
I told you, honey, you said, and I was being too picky with the job in the classifieds. Finally, they like anyone with an amputation, we need all these people for this cast. They had 100 people as extras of this cast, right?
Fucking hell.
The 100 people, they're just all circus, hippie people, whatever. They just start camping out at base camp at the movie set, and they're all just living in the forest on these per diems, smoking weed. It becomes like a sex orgy. Like, everyone's just like, we're all drinking. It's taking 4 days to film one scene because Marlon and Val are being cunts. Everyone's just fucking partying or whatever, right? There's all these drum circles. There's all this partying.
That's still, to this day, those drum
circles. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's still going.
I mean, that's a bush dwarf.
One of the people there is, like, telling a story. They're, like, got a friend. They're like, oh, I was up at this farm up the road the other day, and I was talking to this guy, this English guy, talking about how Val Kilmer ruined his life. And it's Richard Stanley, and he's been camped in the bush 150 k's away, living on a farm the entire time.
He's like the real Dr. Moreau.
He's Dr. Moreau. He's her. He's Kurtz in real life. And this extra's like, are you serious? He's like, yeah, he's up there talking about Val Kilmer's ruining his life. And like, well, let's go get him. They go get Richard Stanley. Richard Stanley comes down to hang out with all the extras in base camp.
Wait.
And he's partying, and he's like, I got to get on set.
Oh.
He's
awesome.
Like, he goes, put me in a dog costume. Richard Stanley spends the rest of the film as a dog costume in the extras. He's in scenes in the movie, in the background, behind Val Kilmer, in dog costume, the entire rest, last third of the movie. The kicked off director.
Oh, my God. That's insane.
And they're like, there's all the producers who know him, but and they know that he's not supposed to be there. Because a lot of people didn't know him. He was only at the start. And then if he came later, you're like, I don't know that guy. Yeah. A lot of the producers and that were like, why is that one extra not taking his dog head off in 100 degree off shoots? So everyone else would take it off and drink water and just sitting there in his dog head. And like, this guy's really dedicated. And it was a fucking Richard Stanley the entire
rest
of the film.
It is kind of like the weirdest like cuck revenge fantasy I've like,
yeah,
ever, where it's like, well, this guy's fucking my wife, but little does he know I'm...
Watch him.
Yeah. I'm watching it and enjoying it.
I'm sweating a dog helmet.
Yeah, this will teach him. Yeah.
If you see in the background there, I'm beating off.
So somehow they wrangle the rest of the film together. They just somehow compile this shit movie and they get it together or whatever. And
imagine he never took the dog costume off as well. Like, you just, like, we researched independently. We're like, you know, there's like a dog man in Cairns.
There's a couple of dog guys. There's a whole crew of them there. But he apparently turned up at the rap party and, like, revealed, and then, like, to the actors, not the, you know, and so apparently Val was like, I'm sorry about all that and whatever. Like, some sort of made amends, but he was so affected by it. But the movie, It's out there. It's a movie. Got 22% on Rotten Tomatoes. It made $50 million at the box office. It cost about $50 million to make, and then there's marketing. So it's a box office bomb, mm-hmm. Hard bomb. But
you're
could
telling
have been
me
worse.
The guy painted white with a ice bucket on his head
and so it's sort of they scraped through to like recover it. So in terms of like, there's been bigger box office bombs, but the production was a nightmare. But the aftermath, Richard Stanley didn't make a movie for 23 years. He was blacklisted or he just lost his mind. And then in 2009, he made a H.P. Lovecraft movie, Color Outer Space, starring Nicolas Cage. Rave reviews, Rotten Tomato, 86%. So he had this big comeback 20 years later. You know, Brando died, Val's dead, I think. Or
did Brando die?
Yeah.
Or is he in that movie?
He's in that movie too. But yeah, that's the story of Dialing a Dr. Moreau in the back streets or the back, you know, I get paddocks and of Cairns.
I've never heard that story.
It's unreal. I'd heard that there was something like that, but I didn't know it was in fucking Cairns.
Yeah, that's wild.
And I would love, like, that's the detail of the story. There's got to be people in Cairns who fucking were there involved.
There'd
in
be
that.
People that have done it, surely.
Yeah, for sure.
So when we were planning this pod and we were talking about research, I said to Alex, I saw 8 Mile in Cairns, and you said, I have a similar story about a movie. That's not very similar.
I saw 8 Mile.
For the better.
I saw 8 Mile in Cairns and there was a guy dressed as a dog.
He was giggling the whole time.
Oh, fuck.
Fucking hell.
There we go.
That's fucking nuts.
It's so cool. I want to watch the movie. But if you
there
watch
are a
movie,
lot of actors in Cairns. There's a lot of people like...
Little set.
Because they shoot some things up
it
there.
It must be like a part of... Yeah, it's obviously a part of the world that's quite iconic.
It would be cool
iconic.
To go down there and like see if you how many extras you could find from the like, original
I, one of the
shoot.
Guys in the... Because the Lost Souls doco is great because, like I said, it's just like all these Ponzi Americans, producers, like remembering it. And then it cuts to like, you know, Terry, who was like the production assistant. He's like, yeah, man, I did this. And then it's like Terry, production assistant. And I'm like, I wonder if he's still a production guy or whatever. And I Google and he refills vending machines or something. Like it's came up
oh,
on his LinkedIn.
Yeah.
Refill Tessie. There's a refill Tessie. But, you know, it's clear like money went into the city and all these people like odd jobs and all that stuff. But yeah, it's probably a bunch of TV and movies and stuff that get made up there because it's impossible to get that scenery in other places. Yeah, yeah. But,
I think Kansas rivalry is Hawaii, if I remember right from talking to people out there. They're like, Cairns and Hawaii have similar... like setups, like the jungle and stuff like that. So you can go and do different shoots there because of the different types. Because even like if you go to Mariba, it's all like plains.
Yeah, that's right.
So it's like it's got a bit of everything there.
Yeah.
But it's fucking crazy.
Yeah, that's so cool.
The only other story I know about Cape Trib is people getting taken by crocs. That's it.
Well, can't wait. Pete James is going to get the full me watching 8 Mile story.
Watch out, Petey.
Watch out.
Man.
Chad, we have two more questions for you. The first is if someone says, hey, mate, I'm coming up to Cairns for a day, 24 hours. I need an itinerary, something to do, morning, afternoon, and night. What do you tell them to see? Where do you tell them to go?
Oh, shit. Is this, like, genuine or, like, fuck this person?
No.
You can do whatever you want, really.
From your memory.
If you get in there in the morning, a lot of people I know run businesses don't have them anymore. It's going pretty bad up there at the moment. I'd say rattle and hum on the Esplanade, have a beer, and just watch the world go by. And then if it's a Tuesday, there's a venue. there's a venue just just out of the CBD. And on a Tuesday, they do Tits Out Tuesday for lunch.
Hello.
So if you want to go, if you want to go enjoy that, some steaks there if you want to get involved. It actually used to be the venue, and I'm sure you'll get more of a story, but there used to be a Captain Cook statue in Cairns.
Oh.
Have you seen it?
No, but
look it up on your
the
phone.
Giant one that looks really like it looks like it was made by preschoolers.
So there's a Captain Cook statue. Was a Captain Cook statue in Cairns that's doing a Hitler salute.
Oh.
And
I
it's
think
giant.
I know the one.
It's massive,
but it looks like it's fucking.
And it is right next to.
Oh no!
It used to be right in the car park of this pub that does Tits Out Tuesday. So next to it, it had like a all day pokies kind of sign and stuff.
That's so
because Captain Cook statues are getting cut down for all sorts of reasons, you know. And then it's like, all right,
he's doing it proper. And you know what's funny? They're like, no, he's just saying land ho, and I'm like, yeah, but you don't point with all your fingers,
you know
what I mean? But he that statue was there for ages when the radio station I worked with rebranded and they became Hit and Triple M. When it became Triple M, this is like it'll probably be a photo of it as well, to announce that the new station existed, Triple M, the national brand, draped a flag over the Captain Cook statue which said, like, you know, welcome, like, to Cairns Triple M. So there is a picture somewhere of a Hitler saluting Captain Cook with Triple M hanging off him.
Oh, dude.
So that would have been a big suggestion to go and see, but they ended up, for years, they argued about taking this statue down. It's great when you look at, like, the Facebook comments and stuff on the news articles.
Yeah.
People arguing, it should stay, it's a bloody landmark. Or should they? But you know what they did? The story was, oh, they ripped it down. But what they actually did
they
was
they just drew a little
they
Hitler
sold
mustache
it.
On it.
They just redesigned it. They actually sold it.
Oh.
So they sold it for like, I think, 50 cents or something. So someone just come and remove it. But it still exists. It's on a property in Mariba, the Tablelands, 40 minutes from Cairns.
Oh, right.
So, like, if you really, if you still want to see it, if you're still itching so for a bit good. Of Hitler, Captain Cook, you can go up and
that's
they couldn't
trip.
Get rid of him.
That's wild.
It's a landmark. You got to keep it. So, I'd probably do that.
Yeah. Check it out.
Take your mates around to that. I love it. And then, I mean, nights, just go, you know what? I reckon you can still dance on those tables at the Wheelchair. I reckon they're not going to stop you.
Yeah.
You know,
if they've removed the cages, I'd have a second thought. But if the cages were there, I'm like, here we go.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Fuck that, man. It used to be so packed on those tables.
That's so beautiful. Cool. I mean, the fact that it was like you're like, because I've seen people dance on tables, and it's a bit like, but like if it's like the if there's carte blanche, let's do it. That sounds fucking
yeah. Like people just like going at it. Yeah. People would fall all the time. This bitch would fucking sue them. It's ruined it for everyone. Yeah, it's bullshit.
Imagine suing a blind drunk your dance and you
ruined it for everyone. Yeah. You're not a local. That's what I know. Yeah. You're going back home with your moon boo, getting your sympathy. You loser.
That's unreal.
And final question.
Final question is, Chad, you've achieved everything you've ever wanted. Scott Morrison has officially apologized to you for his role in your firing. You've got all the millions of dollars in the world. Would you settle down in Cairns as your ultimate destination?
Well, I mean, my family live there, so no. If they weren't there, hell yeah.
Beautiful.
Cairns is great. You
could be worse places to end up.
Yeah. 100%. It's good international airports. If you hate it, you can leave whenever you want.
Yeah
beautiful.
Fucking awesome. I love it. All right, Chad, do you have anything you want to plug?
I've got shows for the Sydney Comedy Festival. I don't know if you've heard of this place, small town called Sydney. they serve drinks in jars.
We're kind of big fish at a small pond.
Yeah, I don't know if you guys have heard of it, but I've got two shows. I've got a solo show called Well, 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 if it isn't Chad Wicker, which is kind of about a little bit about me getting fired and also about a 85-year-old man faking a heart attack. It was the most inspirational thing that ever happened to me. And then I do a show with my mate Pete that I'm sure you'll have on called Shad and Pete Save the World.
Yes.
Write down any
everyone
problems.
Everyone loves it.
A lot of fun. Yeah, that show's heaps of fun.
Go check that out, guys.
Fuck. May 9 to 12. There
beautiful.
You go.
May 9 to 12.
Well, we're checking
buy
out.
Buy tickets now. Go see the boys. That will be so much fun.
Alex, you got some Melbourne shows.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I'm doing Melbourne 5th to the 20th of April. Buy tickets. Selling well. Don't We Look Stupid is my show down there. It's a lot of fun.
How well
they selling?
Yeah.
Not good.
I was going to wait till we're off mic and be like, well, really?
I'm
Melbourne
suspicious.
Comedy Festival?
I'm someone saying they're selling well.
I had
rip off the mustache and it's Will Anderson.
I have weirdly one show that I have 40 tickets sold for.
Holy fuck. Oh, wow. And then, so that is well.
But that's
is
one show well. And it's one. If you're maybe a pod listener, if you've brought 20 tickets to come to my show, thank you. I would love to know what's going on. But one person bought 20 tickets to a show. So well, it's going
to
be.
If that person's in Sydney, I'd love to sell 20 tickets.
Come along.
You
got somebody to splash around. And a lot of good shows down there. You're not going to Melbourne, you're going to.
Nah, fuck that.
Fuck that.
No, I had a lot of fun last year, but I'm like
Sydney will be more fun.
I'm keeping my track record of losing my job every couple of years. So I can't get across the line with the missus to go away and do stand up comedy for a month. But Sydney
will be fun. I got a Sydney Comedy Festival show too, but it's what were your dates? Early May?
9 to 12.
Yeah, I think mine are like the end of the month or something. That'll be fun too. But anyway,
I thought you were about to be a mad dog and be like, oh, I'm busy that day.
No,
date so you could just fucking bury me. This prick is coming for me.
No, I can't remember mine now, but it's in my head. It's like it's 6 years away because it's after Melbourne. But it's so I'm on the 18th and 19th of May. So
right.
go see that as well. But go see Chad and the boys and everything like that.
Fuck yeah,
hell yeah. And we have a Patreon.
You can
subscribe to that for $5 a month and you get 2 bonus episodes a month. It's a lot of fun. In probably less than a month, the Oyster Challenge is coming. There's a guy, a Sydney comedian, Jack Wright. You might have met him. He believes he can eat 100 oysters in an hour.
Well, he said unlimited oysters. He said there's no way you can buy enough oysters for me. I will not stop eating. You will not have enough.
When I said 100 oysters in an hour to me, he called me an idiot and said, try 10 minutes.
This is like, you ever do good? Ever do the
Centurion?
I did that at uni and was
it's
awful.
It's way harder than
it's
you think.
It's so much harder.
And guess what? I like beer more than oysters. Okay? I'm not doing
it. It's really easy to drink.
It's so much. I love drinking beer.
You basically tell me, can I swallow 100 gollies?
But we're going to. Yeah, he's going to do it. So fucking get around that. It'll be fun.
Apart from that, Chad, thanks so much
thanks
for coming on.
Thanks
for
having me,
guys. Loved having you on. And we'll get you back for all the places.
Yeah, we got to get you back.
Oh, fantastic.
It'll be great.
All right, we'll see you next week, everybody. Goodbye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.